Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. President Trump has signed a huge spending package that includes financial relief for COVID-19. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports he signed the measure after days of uncertainty.
The $2.3 trillion coronavirus relief bill will help avert a government shutdown and provide billions of dollars in coronavirus aid to millions of people. Passed by Congress with sweeping majorities, Trump waited almost until the last minute to sign the measure after calling the package a disgrace and fought, so far unsuccessfully, to raise direct payments from $600 to $2,000. President Trump refused to sign the legislation for days, sending Washington into chaos as a deadline to prevent millions of Americans from losing unemployment benefits was missed. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
In New York, authorities are investigating whether a health care provider violated state guidelines in the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines. NPR's Joel Rose reports police and health officials are investigating the ParCare Community Health Network.
In a flyer posted on Twitter, ParCare promised to make vaccine doses available on a first-come, first-served basis to the elderly or people deemed to be high risk. That would contradict New York State's plan to administer the vaccine first to frontline healthcare workers, as well as current nursing home residents and staffers. The state health commissioner says the company may have fraudulently obtained the doses of the COVID-19 vaccine that it offered to the general public. ParCare has four locations in Brooklyn, one in Manhattan, and one in the Hudson Valley, and largely serves Orthodox Jewish communities. In a statement, ParCare says it will cooperate with the investigation and that it only gave vaccinations to those qualified to receive it. Joel Rose, NPR News.
Stay-at-home orders were supposed to end Monday in parts of California hit hard by the coronavirus, but state health officials are expected to extend them because the pandemic shows no sign of abating. Hospitals in the central and southern part of the state are running out of intensive care beds. Infections in California exceeded 2 million last week. Federal investigators have identified human remains found at the site of an explosion in downtown Nashville Christmas morning. They say it appears that 63-year-old Anthony Warner was the bomber and had acted alone. Doug Kerensky is the FBI's special agent in charge. He says they're still investigating.
We continue to ask that those who may have known the suspect or encountered him contact our team at the 1-800-CALL-FBI phone number. These pieces of information will help us understand the suspect's motives.
Three people were injured in the explosion, which also damaged an AT&T building. Cell phone service and police and hospital communications are still disrupted in several southern states. This is NPR News. The bankruptcy of Northern California utility PG&E cost the company about $700 million in legal fees and other expenses. From member station KQED, Lily Jamali has more.
The expenses were revealed in court filings from a court-appointed fee examiner. Much of the money went to law firms and financial advisors based in New York. PG&E filed for bankruptcy protection almost 2 years ago, just weeks after its equipment sparked the deadliest wildfire in California's history. During its second run through Chapter 11 in as many decades, the company reached settlements with fire survivors, insurers, and municipalities. Data firm New Generation Research says the $700 million in fees places the bankruptcy in the top 10 for costliest corporate bankruptcies ever. For NPR News, I'm Lily Jamali in San Francisco.
China's central bank is ordering Ant Group, the largest financial technology company in the world, to change its lending and other operations as part of a crackdown on monopolies. The People's Bank of China accuses the company of using its market position to keep out rivals at the expense of consumers. Voters in Niger cast ballots for a new president Sunday. Results are expected in a few days. This would be the West African nation's first transfer of power between two democratically elected presidents since becoming independent from France in 1960. The country has seen four coups since then. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.